Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Today in the Champions League was all about Group H. We'll talk about Leipzig's win against PSG in a moment, but we'll start in Turkey, where Istanbul Başakşehir beat Manchester United by 2-1 to register their first ever victory, their first ever goal in the history of the group stages of the competition. Shaka Hislop, Stuart Robson and Craig Burley with us. Craig, they deserve the win as well.
You know, our boss, when I said to your boss today, I said, what games do you want me to watch? And he says, Leipzig, PSG. I thought, okay, yeah. And can you watch Man United against that team in Istanbul, whose second name is very difficult to pronounce? And I thought, why the hell do you want me to watch that game? He must think that United are going to be the gift that keep on giving. And he was right. He was absolutely right, because once again, you know, United make the headlines for all the wrong reasons. And what did Solskjaer say after the debacle against Arsenal, that woeful performance? He said, well, do you know, we came out and we weren't really at it and there was no tempo to a game. And, well, here's a repeat first 45 minutes of the same performance with unable to do the basics against a much poorer side. And then the two goals that they gave away, guys, on top of that. I mean, that's not even schoolboy stuff. And we're talking about Man United here. So, listen, Dan, the clock is ticking now. Yeah. 4 defeats in 7 games with Everton at the weekend. The clock is ticking big time. If he loses on Saturday, how the hell do you go to your board and your shareholders and your supporters and say, 5 defeats in 8 games? How's that for Man United? That ain't good enough if that happens at the weekend.
Let's talk about that first goal, Robbo, because it was an indictment on everything that's wrong with Manchester United at the moment. Everyone was up as if it was the 95th minute. It was crazy. No one was back marking. Demba Ba picks up the ball, goes up the other end and scores. As Craig says, you wouldn't see that at a schoolboy level.
Well, when you've got a set play, you send your centre-halves up, you get people forward, you always have two back. If they've got one centre-forward, you usually have two back. One marking behind, one marking in front. Well, Matic was marking in front, but there was nobody actually behind. They completely sort of didn't even know he was there at that point. I think Wan-Bissaka also made a run forward at the wrong time, so just left it wide open. But it was an extraordinary goal, and it just shows a lack of organisation, a lack of leadership on the field as well, because when the centre-halves go up for the corner, they should be making sure it's all sorted out the back. The goalkeeper, no De Gea, it was Henderson in goal. He's got to be telling people in front of him, you know, you've got to get back, goal side, one goal side, one the other side of him, so he can't get the ball into his feet. It's a lack of organisation, a lack of discipline, and a lack of leadership.
Who takes the blame overall? Robert wants to blame the goalkeeper, Shaka.
I think it's down to Matic and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, in all honesty. Listen, it's on Wan-Bissaka's side, but he's involved in the set piece. Not just once with a given goal, but twice. He gets it back. And if the right back gets involved, if Wan-Bissaka is actually supposed to be sitting a little bit deeper and he gets involved in the play, surely you work it out on the training ground, who's supposed to drop in place of him? Or to Robbo's point, you have some kind of leadership on the field to say, well, hold on, Wan-Bissaka's involved. I've got to drop inside here. Or he picks somebody else to drop in. But nobody does. And then Matic gets caught ball watching. Demba Ba realizes that and just drifts off the back of him, which, I mean, that wasn't the only time it happened in the game. He was doing that all game long, just peeling off centre-backs into acres of space. And a long clearance, and he's in. Listen, I understand the point Rob was making that Henderson should have called somebody back as well, but I sympathise. Everybody goes a long way up. You're probably screaming your head off, you know, whether anybody's paying you any mind or not. I just feel that in terms of initial blame, it has to be Matic, and it has to be Ole Gunnar Solskjaer on the sidelines for not having his organisation better prepared than that.
Dan, let's get to the crux of this, right? Harry Maguire was out this week after the Arsenal game, smarting at the criticism from some pundits about leadership. Well, they haven't got any, right? So he can come out and, you know, raise his head above the parapet and tell all the nonsense he wants. There's no leadership, right? Secondly, at no point at this level of football, and we're talking about elite level players, some of them anyway, or they should be playing for that club, should get themselves in that position. But if these players are too dumb to understand that, and it seems some of them at Man United are, then there is no excuse for Mike Phelan and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer not to have that sorted. There is an excuse if you're playing in the Bernabeu in front of 100,000 or the Nou Camp or Anfield or even Old Trafford, when there's a full house and the atmosphere's hot and sometimes, and we know as players, you can't hear everything. There's nobody at the grounds. There's a handful of people. It's not difficult to get that message on quickly, because you can't say, oh, they never heard this, because you could whisper at these grounds and they can hear you. So if the players are not clever enough to be able to sort it, then what the hell are the coaching staff doing? What are they looking at? There's no excuse to get onto these players with no crowd that they're not bright enough, smart enough, and have the football intellect in the first half of a Champions League game, which, by the way, the group's now wide open, to get yourself in a good position. So it boils down to thick players and poor coaching.
Those backing Solskjaer, how concerned would you be, as Xhaka mentioned, Robbo, in that opening first half, Demba Ba looked world-class and no one seemed to be doing anything about it?
Yeah, the centre-halves didn't read it well enough. Well, not so much Harry Maguire, because he was on the other side, but he played off Tuanzebe. And Tuanzebe, there was one incident where the goalkeeper was just about to kick the ball. You could see Demba Ba pointing exactly where he wanted. He kept on moving his head, saying, stick it in behind Tuanzebe. Tuanzebe's looking at him, and the ball still got played over the top, and he got there. You know, Demba Ba, he's 35, he's struggling to run, so it's a real problem. But they weren't just the only problems at Manchester United. And that's the defensive side of it. The attacking side was wrong as well. When you look at the one thing you do as a coach, when you go into any club or you're working on the team shape, how are we going to get the ball from back to front? What's our game plan? If the opposition squeeze up, let's stick it in behind. If they're compact, we're going to have to go in behind. I'm not sure that Marcus Rashford and Martial made one run in behind when somebody had time on the ball. They wanted to come short, not just receive with the ball with their back to play. They want to come short back into midfield. Now, who's telling them, no, that's not the right thing to do? We've got to turn the opposition round to start with. Then we're going to get room to play. Then we can get Bruno Fernandes in the game. Then we can get Mata in the game. But to start with, we've got to turn the opposition round. And Marcus Rashford, unless the game is open, doesn't make those runs. Martial, unless the game is open, they're playing counter-attacking football, he doesn't make those runs either. That's a lack of game knowledge and a lack of understanding from the coach to get them to do it.
Where was the response in the second half, Shaq?
I don't know. That for me was the most confusing thing. And I think that speaks to exactly what Robbo was talking about in terms of a lack of preparation, a lack of any offensive game plan. Given how the half ended with Martial scoring and you feel team talks, the halftime team talks to come, there would have been, you know, a lot of finger pointing, a lot of blame around the two goals. But all of a sudden you're back in the game, and now momentum is in your favour. You've dominated possession in the first 45, so surely now it's an opportunity for you to push on. Not only that, you call on the likes of Greenwood, of Cavani, Pogba coming off the bench. I know he's sitting a little bit deeper. You have all the cards in the pack, certainly in terms of talent, between the two. And yet still in the second 45, the only real scare that Istanbul had came in the 93rd minute. A goal line clearance of what would have been an own goal. That's all that Manchester United had to speak about in terms of any kind of offensive threat. And again, that for me, and I don't mean to be picking an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer here, but when you have that kind of starting 11, when you have that kind of firepower coming off the bench, and your only shired goal comes from an Istanbul header, then that speaks to a failure on your part.
It goes, Dan, it goes back to the fact...
What about...
Sorry, Rob, I've been knocking this nail in the head with the hammer for weeks and weeks and maybe months now, that when United play sides that sit deep and are weaker on paper, this is what we get, generally. Not all the time, but generally. When this United side play City, and we've seen it in the last 12 months or so, when they play the PSGs of this world and others, who come at them, who dominate them, who have better players, the plan is, and has been all along, to sit in and be defensive and hit on the counter-attack with pace. But we don't play these teams, you know, twice a week. Quite often we play teams that are weaker and more defensive, and there is no plan. Even when you look at Arsenal with Arteta, a new coach, You know, he'll drop a centre, a midfielder into the back four, and he'll push the fullback into the wide position. He'll drop the winger in narrow. They're trying different things. He's trying different things. He's a new coach. Solskjaer's not a new coach. People need to remember this. He's been in management over 10 years, a decade, right? He's not new. He's not new to this game. You know, he was in Norway and he was at Cardiff, got sacked, went back, came in as interim coach. Not new to this game. There's no plan for United unless they're playing the better teams, which even against RB Leipzig, a better team. They sat in, they were outplayed, and then they hit on the counter-attack, RB Leipzig capitulated. That's the plan. That is the United plan. When they play poorer teams, no space in behind, generally they've struggled. And that's a problem.
You just have to look at the shape of the midfield as well. I'm not quite sure what he wanted Bruno Fernandes and Mata to do. He's got Matic and Donny van de Beek. Donny van de Beek is at his best when he's playing further forward and making runs into the box. He's playing as a holding midfield player and didn't look that comfortable after the first 10, 15 minutes. You've got Juan Mata playing out on the right-hand side, not particularly happy because he's never going to go past anybody. He's going to have to come in on his left foot. And Bruno Fernandes was going and playing alongside him at times. So I'm not sure what the shape of the midfield was. And if you have no shape when you've got the ball, you have very little shape when you lose it because you're out of shape, and that's when the opposition can counter-attack. And that's what happened today.
Dan, we're 8 games into the season come the end of the weekend, Premier League and domestic. What would that be? 4 or 5 league games, whatever it is. You know, if he walks out of Goodison on Saturday, I think it is, with another defeat, where do we go? Where does Ed Woodward go? Where do the board go? What do the supporters say? Is that, I mean, you know, 5 defeats in 8 games for anybody. A struggling mediocre team would have the manager in the hot seat, and that's how big this is for him. And what he has shown, though, and what his team have shown, and it has spared them, and we've touched on this, is that when he's been up against it severely, and he is already, they've got a result. Can that continue at the weekend? Who knows, because Everton started well, but they've hit the buffers a little bit. But who knows? But we're so short into the season. It's only just started, but already it's coming home to bear for him that and the club that this could all be going in the wrong direction. And I think the weekend, Dan, it could come to head. I mean, I really do. How long do you let it go? How long do you let it go if they lose at Everton at the weekend?
But even if they don't, even if they get a result against Everton, Robert, there's absolutely no consistency in this side, which has kind of been epitomised of what's happened over the last 3 or 4 weeks, which kind of leads to what you were saying, that there doesn't seem to be a plan.
You know, the best managers, when you look at their team, without even knowing the players, you say, well, that's a Jose Mourinho team, or that's an Alex Ferguson team, because they've played to a certain pattern. They've got patterns of play that they've been working and in training and training. They turn the opposition round to start with, then they buy themselves space in midfield to play. So you know what they're trying to do, and they do it very well. When I watch Manchester United, I've seen them now for a year and a half with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, or a year, and I keep seeing the same things. How are they going to get the ball into those front players? Because they keep coming into spaces where there is no space, so the midfield players have to go square and back. So that's why they're playing so slowly, because the front players aren't making any runs. But why isn't the coach sorting that out? Why isn't he getting the right game plan? In the Arsenal game and tonight, when the ball changes hand, Manchester United's effort to win it back was really poor. And I go with the front two again. It starts with the front two. If they lose possession, Rashford and Martial today, when they lost possession, the ball might have only been 2 or 3 yards away from them. There was no effort to try and win it back again. And so the Istanbul Başakşehir, I think I said it right, could then play forward and counterattack.
Robert and Craig, thank you very much. Thank you, Shaka. Robert and Craig, stay with me. If you want more from Shaka, download the podcast. He's with Robbo on Extra Time answering your questions.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Elsewhere in Group H, Leipzig with a 2-1 victory over PSG to blow this group wide open. The hosts coming from behind to beat the French champions by 2-1. Craig and Robbo still with us. Frank Leboeuf joining us as well. Frank, this evening just got from bad to worse, didn't it? After Di Maria missed that penalty, conceding the 2 goals, and PSG getting 2 players sent off as well.
Yes, you know, the many players were injured, you know, before that game, so we thought it would be a hard game. But he started very well with Di Maria scoring a goal. But it's true that after the penalty that he missed, we went for the worst. And it started with Nkunku, scoring a goal for Leipzig, equalizing the former Paris Saint-Germain player. And after, during the second half, we didn't recognize the Paris Saint-Germain. And that's what it is with Paris Saint-Germain. When you find a big adversity, when you find players, you know, fighting all together, you don't see any team anymore in a Paris Saint-Germain side. And it's what happened. And then after, you have a red card. And then you have Kimpembe losing his mind completely and smashing Poulsen and getting another red card. And that's just fair for Leipzig to win that game because they behave as a real team, reacting to a bad start, but finishing very well, which is absolutely not the case of Paris Saint-Germain.
As Frank mentioned, Craig, of course, big injuries, no Mbappe, no Neymar in this team. Does that give them the excuse?
No, because all these teams should have big squads. We shouldn't feel sorry for the Man Cities, the Liverpools, the Bayerns, the PSG, the Real Madrids, because they've got the most money and they should have the biggest squad, and you've got to cope with that. There was a lack of discipline, there was a lack of fluency. Yeah, they started well and it looked a bit ominous for RB Leipzig. They were a little dishevelled at the back, and I thought, oh, here we go, the same mistakes that they were cut open at Old Trafford with. But they gathered themselves and they pressurised, and in the end, okay, Di Maria missed the penalty, but they deserve to win. And you know, I don't know if Frank can help me out here. Every time, and I think FIFA should look at these challenges now, and I think they've got to look at a way and saying, when there's a cynical challenge like the one Kimpembe made, I think it was on Poulsen, I'm not quite sure. When there's no clear attempt to play the ball, I think it should be a straight red, particularly when it's dangerous. But that's something for down the line. But Frank, every time I see Kimpembe playing, it gives me something in terms of, it gives something to the other team. You know, it just always seems to be making a howler in big games. And every time I see him play, and I don't watch the French League all the time for obvious reasons, but when I see him in the Champions League, he does things in the game that just makes you scratch your head.
I agree with you from the past until that game, especially. But I think since the beginning of the season, he went to another level and was really the center half we were expecting from him with the talent that he has, not making any stupid mistakes or stupid foul. But it's true. He had a decent game today. He made a great save on Poulsen just before. And then, because he thinks that he can't get him, he will tackle him like crazy and really deserve that red card. Where you have other games that, because of the injuries that Daniel and myself were mentioning before, it would have been useful to have Kimpembe for the other 3 games that they have to play. And now we'll have 2 other players missing, which is absolutely a disaster for Paris Saint-Germain. Because if they don't go through the group stages, well, my God, big question marks about Tuchel, about some players, about even Paris Saint-Germain.
Where'd it go wrong for them today, Robbo?
Well, when you've got Neymar and Mbappe missing, you've got a midfield three of Herrera. You've got Marquinhos, who's a good holding midfield player, but he's not that creative. And that's been the problem for them. Idrissa Gueye, the other midfield players, so 3 in that central midfield that aren't really creative players. You've then got Florenzi, who I saw a lot of when he was at Roma. Now he's a decent fullback, but he's not going to charge forward and get crosses into the box and make things happen. And Kazao, I would say the same down the other side. So it's OK to have a good, hard-working midfield players when you've got Mbappe and Neymar on the side. When you haven't got those in the side, you need more creativity. And that's a problem for PSG going forward.
Now, what about this for a group when you take a look at it? United and Leipzig both on 6 points. PSG and Istanbul on 3 points. Craig, who's going through?
Well, PSG now, what they go to, you've got to feel that they're going to get better, right?
Yeah.
They go to Manchester, in no particular order. They go to Manchester. Mm-hmm. They have RB Leipzig and Istanbul at home.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's too much to ask to pick up 3 wins from those 3 games. Bearing in mind, yeah, they did lose in Paris to Manchester United, but we know how awful they are. Let's be frank about it. And, you know, Leipzig at home, not an easy game, but if you get more of the players back, then I still think Paris Saint-Germain, for Tuchel's sake, should make it through. Then it's a straight fight, I believe, between Manchester United and RB Leipzig for the second place.
Robbo, can you foresee any way in which PSG don't go through?
No, I think when they get their full team back, I think they'll win their some of their remaining games. They'll win enough points to get through. I think they've got enough quality, but they need those two players back fairly quickly if they are going to succeed.
Frank?
Well, the two players were there the last time against Manchester United, and we saw the result. So, I mean, it's more in the mentality of all the players to react and to behave as a team. I can't imagine Paris Saint-Germain not going through, and I want to think that it's possible for them to reverse the situation and making sure that they're going to go through. But I want to see everybody behaving differently, because otherwise it's going to be a nightmare for the club, as I just said before.
Gentlemen, as always, thank you very much. Be sure to check out Extra Time over on our YouTube channel. Robbo and Shaka answering your tweets. Barcelona continued their perfect start to the group stages of the Champions League with a 2-1 victory over Dinamo Kiev. We welcome Ali to the show to reflect on this game. Ali, it's never simple for Barcelona at the moment. Right, Messi gets a penalty after 5 minutes. Good. Then kick on, get a nice win. But they didn't.
Nope. They sure didn't. They managed to make this so much more difficult than it needed to be. Now, for a little bit of context, let's just kind of give the perspective as to what this version of Dinamo Kiev was today. This was a team that was missing 13 players due to a combination of COVID and injuries, mostly COVID. And so therefore, what you had out there was a bunch of kids that never really had participated in Champions League or had very limited experience. The best example of that is the goalkeeper, Neshedet, 18 years old, who was making his second professional appearance. Not Champions League appearance, professional appearance. And so, if you're Barcelona, and as you just mentioned, you go up and after 5 minutes, penalty kick by Messi. Okay, we're flying. Pedri hits a post. Griezmann misses a sitter, but you still think, all right, well, it's only a matter of time. Not so much. After that, Barcelona became slow and slower and slowest and predictable, and the game began to turn to the point to where, if I were to say, okay, who was outstanding today for Barcelona? Who had an MVP performance? Who was the sort of guy that you look at and say, you know what, that guy did his job today? It was Ter Stegen. Ter Stegen. Coming off of injury, he actually gets an opportunity to play, and you think that he's just going to ease his way back. He had to make four, and I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this, 4 big saves. 2 of them were actually world-class against Dinamo Kiev to keep the game either at 1-0 or at 2-0. Eventually, it becomes 2-1, and Barcelona are hanging on, and Ter Stegen's having to come up with saves again. So of all the performances that Barcelona has had under Ronald Koeman, in which you could say, you know, they've been uneven, underwhelming, frustrating. This, of all those performances, this was the worst. And while you can say, well, Neshedet, the goalkeeper that I just mentioned, came up with a bunch of saves and this and that and the other, it was so very frustrating to see Barcelona playing the way that they were against a bunch of kids running around in Dinamo Kiev, that all they were doing is trying to hang on and trying to do the best they possibly could under very tough circumstances. And in the end, they made a game out of it. Credit to Dinamo Kiev, but man, it was awful from Barcelona again.
Elsewhere, Juventus with a much-needed victory away from home. Ali, Alvaro Morata with a couple of goals. And what I like about Morata is that he is the butt of the jokes, the offsides, the blah, blah, blah. But he keeps showing up.
Yes, he does. And Juventus need Alvaro Morata to keep showing up.
because he does give you an actual natural striker, a guy who, whether you like him or not, whether you appreciate him or not as a player, he's going to be in and around the 18-yard box. So if you create chances for him, usually when he can stay onside, he's going to score the tap-in, or he's going to score a nice header. In this case, the ball falls to him inside the 18-yard box and a nice lead by Weston McKennie on a nice counterattack play. And the finish was magnificent from Alvaro Morata. Clean as clean can be. And so you're thinking a confident Alvaro Morata helps out Juventus, not only because of the productivity he can give you, but what he can do with Cristiano Ronaldo and kind of take some of the pressure off of Cristiano Ronaldo. And to that point, I'll also say that the fact that Paulo Dybala comes off the bench, who we saw when Ronaldo came off the bench himself over the weekend and made the difference that Ronaldo made, and Dybala had been terrible over the weekend, Dybala actually comes off the bench today, he's presented with a gift, scores a goal, creates a fourth one, and I just think overall, all of that helps Juventus big picture, because you have Morata scoring goals, you have Ronaldo with his confidence, and then you have Dybala, who says, okay, I do not know what my role is just yet with this team, with Ronaldo back from injury, but at least I'm scoring a goal here and there, and that helps Juventus.
So you take a look at the standings, it's as you would expect, really, when the draw was made. Barca and Juve, top of the table, they will advance to the knockout stages. Dynamo Kiev and Ferencváros at the bottom. Well, Serie A continues this weekend. It all starts on Friday. Sassuolo taking on Udinese. That game live on ESPN Plus at 2:45. Really, you take a look at it Sunday. Huge game, isn't it? Lazio against Juventus. That's at 6:15 a.m. on ESPN2, followed by Atalanta against Inter Milan on ESPN Plus.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Elsewhere, Chelsea, good result for them at Stamford Bridge. A 3-0 victory over Rennes, putting them very much in the driving seat to qualify for the knockout stages. Timo Werner with a brace. Tammy Abraham getting the third. Frank Leboeuf with us for a bit of tete-a-tete on this game. Frank, Chelsea get it done. 3 points, move on. Lovely.
Exactly. Nothing much to say, because it's very hard to say what we really feel about the game and how the two teams, you know, behave because of referee's decision, which was quite right, you know, about the penalty and maybe the red card. But what about the handball of Zuma? That's a question that we have to ask him. But overall, you know, Chelsea did what they had to do, even if they had to face a good run for like 20, 25 minutes. But it's funny to see that we thought that Chelsea would show what they're capable of doing offensively, when in fact they're showing us, you know, a solidity in defense, and with a fantastic Edouard Mendy, who made, again, a fantastic save. And also with the four at the back, you know, who showed us that they're very solid all together. And it's funny, because we were all expecting to see, you know, many, many goals and talents in the forward lines, which is more right now defensively that I'm very pleased with Chelsea.
I'm surprised you agree with the referee for that second penalty. It's harsh, wasn't it? What can you do? Came off his leg onto his hand? That's tough.
Yeah, but that rule doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't matter if you touch another part of your body. It was like before September. Now, it doesn't matter. And if it's in the 16-yard box, if the ball touches your hand, it's a handball. But it was the case for Zuma. And the ref didn't go to the VAR, wasn't called by the VAR, so it's very strange. But otherwise, there's nothing much to say but a penalty against Rennes, and that's only normal.
So it's as you expect when you take a look at Group E, Chelsea and Sevilla top of the table. Sevilla had to work hard, by the way, though, at the Sanchez Pizjuan. They were 2-0 down. They came back to beat Krasnodar by 3-2. Borussia Dortmund go top of Group F after a 3-0 victory against the Club Brugge. Xhaka back with us to reflect on this game, where once again a certain Erling Haaland would grab all the headlines, Shaq.
Yeah, and rightly so. I mean, Haaland's instinct in front of goal right now seems almost second to none. Always seems to be in the right place at the right time and as clinical as ever. Now, as much as Haaland grabs the headlines with his brace, Brugge was simply awful. I mean, the conceding of the first goal was a comedy of errors. And even after that goal went in, just the body language of the Brugge players suggested that the game was over even then. The second goal was more error-laden. Haaland grabbing his first, then go on and double that for Dortmund to win three. It was a canter. It was very easy for Borussia Dortmund. I don't think they're going to get many games in this level of competition that go as swimmingly as that.
What's it, Shaq? 11 goals already for Haaland in the Champions League, already looking at Cristiano Ronaldo's ultimate record. What you got to love about him is his enthusiasm for scoring goals. Always wants it to put it into the back of the net. And as stupid as that sounds, you'd imagine you'd see that from any footballer. He just shows it so beautifully.
Yeah. And the thing about Haaland is, as much as you say, always wants to be on the end of things, always wants to go for goal, he's not selfish. When he finds himself in front of goal, if it isn't a great opportunity or if somebody's in a better position, he's happy to hand that ball off. I just feel that Haaland is so clinical. He hits the ball so well. And his instinct as to where to be at exactly the right time belies his age. He's, what, 20 years old now? I mean, that kind of instinct you see in players a little bit older who get to understand how the ball bounces. But from the time he kind of hit the headlines, he seemed to have that older head on his shoulders. Mm. And then, as I say, added to that, the kind of finishing power that he has, second to none, other than maybe Lewandowski, who's, you know, a different end of his own career. But it speaks to a complete package of a finisher that the concern is only going to get better because of his age.
Xhaka, thank you very much. Meanwhile, in the other game, it finished Zenit 1, Lazio 1. So as a result, Dortmund go top of the table. Well, it's Borussia Dortmund against Bayern Munich on Saturday, the first Clasica of the season, and it is live on ESPN Plus. Extended coverage starting at 12 p.m. Eastern. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Talk about the magic of the FA Cup. What about this on Friday for you? Harrogate Town taking on Skelmersdale United. It's a match that is live on ESPN Plus at 2:45 Eastern. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been with us. Be sure to stay tuned for extra time. Xhaka and Robbo with me to answer your tweets. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Shaka Hislop with us, as is the very elegant, as always, Stuart Robson. He's got nothing on underneath, but looks good on top. Why does all the blame go to Ollie? The back line is defending like they're playing in the Sunday League. No organisation whatsoever, and a board that's not backed him at all. Even Jurgen Klopp would be sacked if he'd be in a situation like this, Robbo.
No, the manager has to take a lot of the criticism because it doesn't matter how good your back four or how poor they are, you can always make them better. You've got to work with them day in, day out in training. I mean, if you see the very best coaches, they make their back four or their back three really solid. They know what they're trying to do. And it looks to me as though the manager and his coaching team haven't done enough work with the defence. They haven't done enough work with the midfielder who are trying to defend. They haven't done enough work with the front players who are trying to defend. Defending starts from the front and works backwards. And I don't think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and his coaching team know exactly what their game plan is defensively. That's why he takes the blame.
I think it's tough, isn't it, Shaq? Because those who defend Solskjaer have come out and said, look, he hasn't been given the players that he wanted in the transfer market. He gave him the list that he weren't given. And I think to a stage, you're like, yeah, OK. But in matches like today, you think, right, you're a coach. Go out there and prove that you're the coach. And today, as we saw against Spurs and against Arsenal, it just isn't working.
I think that speaks to a number of things. The board not backing Solskjaer in the way that maybe he would have wanted. You could probably suggest that, well, not probably, I think you'd be right to suggest that at the same time, it's an incredibly talented squad that I don't think Ole has got the best out of. I don't think anybody has improved under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Let's just take Harry Maguire, for example. Remember how good he was for Leicester and why it prompted Manchester United to spend £85 million for him? Now, all of a sudden, you're looking at him and he doesn't look a shadow of himself. It's the same player. A lot of that speaks to defensive organisation, a coach working with the players, and speaks further to the fact that good teams aren't just about buying good players. That works for some, but you have to do some coaching. And I don't think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has done that. At the same time, he was given money to bring in Van de Beek. What's going on with him? He can't get a game 9 times out of 10. So right now, given the cloud that continues to hang over Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, why do you give him $200 million to spend, for argument's sake?
This is a weird question because there isn't a factual answer to it, Robert, but I'm just intrigued. Half-time, obviously United, probably you could argue one of their worst first-half performances under Solskjaer. I can't imagine him, though, going and screaming and shouting, which I know isn't necessarily always the right thing to do, or giving the players a kick up the backside, or saying, what were you doing for that goal? Really trying to lift them. He doesn't come across as that sort of manager.
No, there's several ways you can get more out of the players in the second half. First of all, you might want to scream and shout at them. You might want to give them a kick up the backside. You almost might want to put an arm around one or two of them.
Right.
But you also, and I always felt this as a player, you have to give the right information. This is how we're going to change the game. You're going to play there. We're going to get the ball into that area there. And we're going to start our moves from that position there. We're going to create a 2v1 down the far side. Keep switching, whatever it may be. If you give good information, the players will take it on board and be inspired by it. And I'm not sure, I don't know, but I'm not sure that information is coming to the players.
Shaka, would you have run out to tackle Demba Ba up the field for the first goal? Shaka, run. You've never seen him play.
If I could have gotten that far, saying that, I fancy myself in a race right now with Demba Ba. I was looking at him running, trying to keep distance between himself and Matic. I thought, oh, Demba's not making it. Maybe that's something Henderson should have thought of.
Like, right.
Listen, how it got that wrong, I don't know. How they got it that wrong, I don't know.
Shaka, when is the point when you know to go?
To leave your line?
Yeah.
You're looking for an opportunity. You're looking for Demba Ba to over-push the ball and you think you can get there either before him or right after him to make it difficult. If his touch is good and the ball never really runs away from him, then there's not a whole lot you can do. But you're waiting for that mistake.
Hey, Shaka, can Haaland be one of them to beat Cristiano Ronaldo's single-season Champions League goals record? Wouldn't he need to move to Madrid, where the quality is higher and more chances often created?
Listen, I think Haaland, regardless of where he is going to break some records, get close to others. But right now, even if he goes to Real Madrid and they dominate European football, I don't think he's going to break Ronaldo's record. I think what we've seen from Ronaldo and Messi over the last decade plus, is I can't see anybody right now getting close to it.
Would Robbo take back his words? Robbo said a lot of bad words, hasn't he, over the years? Let's see what he said wrong this time. Would Robbo take back his words about Ronaldo that he's going to be Pirlo's biggest problem at Juventus?
What I meant when I said that is that when Pirlo goes in, he's got in his mind how he wants to play, I'm sure. And everything has to revolve around Ronaldo, because if you play him on the left-hand side, you know he's not going to defend there, so he's got to make sure he's left-sided midfield player, it tucks across and defends for him. He knows he's not always going to stay out on the left wing.
Were
he's going to go
wrong?
Into the centre
forward
position.
Were you wrong, Robert, when you said that Pirlo's biggest problem would be Ronaldo?
No, I didn't say he was going to be a massive problem in terms of a troublemaker. It's a problem for the coach when you have such a big player. But it's the same with Koeman,
are you wrong
with Messi.
Now considering
if
how much
got
they've
one
missed
player.
Him? They've missed him, though, haven't they?
I'm never wrong, Dan. Never wrong.
Oh, yes.
You must realise that.
Yeah. You and Mrs. Thomas get on so well. OK, final question.
We do, actually.
Yeah, I know. Who actually still has the hammer of the year? Now, this is the discussion that you three had, wasn't it? You, Don and Shaka talking about hammer of the year. Who has the trophy? Yep. Is it on display somewhere where you keep it nice and polished for friends and family to enjoy? Or is it collecting dust in a box? So just remind me, Shaka, I know you won it. Did you win it, Robbo, as well?
I won the hammer of the year in 88.
And where is the hammer?
It's not a hammer. What I've got is some crystal vase with Hammer of the Year written across it.
Wow.
And it's in the loft somewhere.
Oh, it's not on display, Robbo. It's not as if you've got a lot of trophies.
No, I don't have anything on display, I've got to say.
Well, that's obviously because you didn't win anything, but like you won that, so that's nice.
That's not very nice, is it, Daniel? No, but I've won a lot of individual awards.
Well, I'm selfish. That's why.
Well, you know I'm selfish. You know exactly what I'm like. I'm very selfish. Don't care about the team. As long as I won something, that's all right.
Individual award, Paul. Thank you very much. I like that. What other individual awards did you win, Robbo?
I was in the three times player of the month in 1986.
Wow.
I was in the PFA team twice.
Wow.
So you get an award for that.
Yeah.
PFA team. I was player of the year at Arsenal and I was player of the year at Coventry. They're the individual, most of the individual.
But they're all
awards.
In the loft. You've got no memorabilia out in the house whatsoever.
The only thing I've got is caps. In a sort of glass container.
That's nice.
The only thing I've got.
Oh, very nice. Shaka, you've got it scattered around everywhere, haven't you?
I think I got the same as Robbo, a crystal ball somewhere.
I think it's a vase. It's not a vase.
Vase. It's a vase, Shaka, not a ball.
Not a vase. I didn't get a vase.
Robbo, you couldn't have given Shaka a ball because he would have dropped it. Hey, go on.
Hey!
Yeah. What do you have, Shaka?
That was just
like,
dumb.
I imagine your 2006 World Cup stuff, that must be the most precious to you.
Yeah, it is. That's in the loft too.
That's not out and about.
Nah.
Oh, why not?
I've actually... You know, I haven't taken it out since the World Cup.
14 years? It's just been in the loft?
Yeah.
Haven't you moved in 14 years?
Adidas, they sponsored Trinidad and Tobago for 2006, and they did a boot specially for the team. So I got a pair of them. I got the entire team to sign it, and that's my favorite bit of memorabilia from playing. I don't think I've looked at it since.
Oh, Shaq, bring it out. Maybe you could pawn it and then buy some AC, ready for next summer.
Well, Dan, as you can see, I've got books. I've got books out on display because I read.
What books are on display? What are you reading, Shaq? I mean, it's quite highbrow
Howard
stuff.
Jamie Oliver is one.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Tanesi Coates.
Oh.
This is a good one. We were 8 years in power.
Oh, there you go.
Look at that.
Look at that.
Dan, what it says about
that's just
both
a sample
Shaka
of my reading, Dan.
I know, highbrow, Shaka. Oh, yeah. I'm impressed. Stevie's got Spot the Dog.
Where's Waldo?
Oh dear. I think that's it. I think that brings us to the end of Extra Time. As always, thank you very much for your tweets. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.